Harper Audio presents The Thank You Economy by Gary Vaynerchuk. This is the author. To my family and friends, but especially to Lizzie and Misha, the two girls who make me want to breathe. This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. That was Western Union's internal memo in 1876. The wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular? This comes from an investor in response to David Sarnoff's push for radio in 1920. While theoretically and technically television may be feasible, commercially and financially, it is an impossibility. That is Lee DeFrost, radio pioneer, 1926. Visionaries see a future of telecommuting workers, interactive libraries, and multimedia classrooms. They speak of electronic town meetings and virtual communities. Commerce and business will shift from offices and malls to networks and modems, and the freedom of digital networks will make government more democratic. Baloney, says Cliff Stoll, author and professor, 1995. If I had a nickel for every time an investor told me this wouldn't work, Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon. Those quotes really matter to me. You know, I think that I'm talking a lot about the future in this book, but a practical future. And those are some of my favorite quotes of people that didn't see where the world was going and now are on the wrong side of history. I hope when you're done listening to this, you will be on the right side of history. Preface. I've been living in the thank you economy since a day sometime around 1995 when a customer came into my dad's liquor store and said, "Hey, I just bought this bottle of Lindeman Chardonnay for $5.99, but I got your $4.99 coupon in the mail. Can you honor it? I've got the receipt." The store manager working the floor at the time replied, "No." I looked up from where I was on my knees dusting shelves and saw the guy's eyes widen as he said, "Are you serious?" The manager said, "No, no. You have to buy more to get it at $4.99. As the man left, I went over to the manager and said, "Hey, that guy will never come back." I was wrong about that. He did come back. He came back a couple of months later to tell us that he would never shop with us again. Now, I wasn't any nicer than the manager, nor have I ever been a softy when it comes to business. However, though I was young and still had a lot to learn, I knew deep in my gut that he made the wrong call. The manager believed he was protecting the store from a customer trying to take advantage of it. All I could see was that we had missed an opportunity to make a customer happy. Make no mistake, I've always seen business as a way to build a legacy and a way to make people happy. But I've also been in the game to make money, not just to spread sunshine and rainbows. I'm the kid who ripped people's flowers out of their yard and sold it back to them. My incentive to make that customer happy wasn't purely altruistic. It was that happy customers are worth a lot more than any other kind. It was grounded in my belief at the time that a business is only as strong as its closest customer relationships, and that what those customers said about the business beyond our four walls would shape our future. I didn't write the thank you economy to encourage businesses and brands to be nicer to their customers. I wrote it because what I believed was true back then is turning out to be even truer today. I'm intuitive that way. It's why I knew I should sell all my baseball cards and go into toy collectibles. Why I launched WineLibrary.com in 1997 when nobody thought local liquor stores belonged online. Why I decided to go all in on Australian and Spanish wines in 1999 when everybody else was still obsessed with France, California, and Italy. It's how I knew to use Twitter from the get-go and that video blogging was going to be a big deal. And it's why I know I'm right now. I want people who love running businesses and building businesses as much as I do, whether they're entrepreneurs, run a small business, or work for a Fortune 100 company, to understand what early adopters like me can already see. That we have entered a new era in which developing strong customer relationships is pivotal to a brand or a company's success. We have been pushing our message for too many decades. It's no longer enough that a strong marketing initiative simply funnels a brand's one-way message down the consumer's throat. To have an impact, it will have to inspire an emotionally charged interaction.